He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and we will manifest myself, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Just for a few moments on our communion Sunday, we ask you to consider throughout our worship and prayers and time together, consider this word or this thought a place for God, a place for God. Those of us who are familiar with what's happening in our culture and even our society, that this is an ongoing part of humanity right now, where people are seeking to find a place for themselves. They have different terms for it. They have different ways that they categorize people. Some are in a denigrating manner. Others are trying to give some sort of sense of what it is that people are searching for. It's not new, but immigration is not a new thing. Many have come with opportunity, and some of us, we know historically, have come against our will. Amen. History has demonstrated there's not always been a kind thing when people have been brought to a place that did not able to not call home were made to live there. And even now, within the if you look around our neighborhoods and communities and the ways in which you're seeing that the people are even trying to, through different kinds of means, cause areas of society and cities to be designated for purposes that do not have anything to do with the people who live there. Amen. Right. Amen. Neighborhoods are being put aside, and yet we know that, again, saints, that it's not always a case of what it is that you want is only what you've been given. And yet we still stand here today to say that there's always an answer beyond man himself. If we allow ourselves to cause our fate to be dictated by someone other than ourselves, and sometimes, again, you do the best that you can and find that it might not be good enough. And if not careful, you think you'll live into a fatalistic lifestyle, a fatalistic form of life, where since you have no control over your destiny, you will give in to the kinds of things that we see in society today. Some of the things that you see are anger and also angst. That means a deep-seated bitterness of the soul. And after a while, people get tired of being pushed around. And unfortunately, to not to condone at all some of the ways it's acted out, yet they feel in desperation is the only way they can be heard. And so we're here to say again that there is a solution. And it's not one will come necessarily from us, but it comes from someone who made us. Amen. And so here in the gospel, you should always, when you find yourself getting to the place where you're throwing up your hands, you need to open your hands and lift them up to heaven. And see that there's a God in heaven who is the Lord of both heaven and in earth. And so, having said that, we know that to be true because we find a record of this is so, where the scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. we have a record here. We have it recorded. It's stated here. This is not just a religious statement. This is not just some writer or someone who's wrote a book or a catalog or a treatise about how civilization can become better. This is not something that someone wrote to tell us how we can become more evolutionarily better. As a result of that, you know, just by looking around, you can see that's not true. If you didn't know evolution was wrong by philosophy, you know it by humanity. Amen. Things are not getting better, they're getting worse. Amen. So consequently, God knowing in advance the way in which mankind would find itself veering off into the way it is, he already had a plan in place from the beginning. The thing about God is that he is a personal God. And we must understand, we serve a personal God. Or some of the ways, and sometimes even Christians, we categorize God, and some of the terminology we use when referring to him does not do justice to him. Ain't that right? We sing a song. We've been singing a song a couple of weeks ago. He deserves it. Ain't that right? I said he deserves it. Oh, he's the only one who deserves what he gets. Now, if we deserve what we were going to get, but God didn't give us what we deserve. Amen. But he deserves the praise, he deserves the honor, and he deserves the glory. And so in this account, one of the gospel writers out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John was given the privilege. Again, all scriptures given inspiration of God. So none is better than the other, but they have distinctiveness in how they give us to know what happened in history. And God's word is true history. The rest of the stuff you read is revisionist. That means man has a way in which when he gets a hold of history, he can make it sound like he wants. He can put in, it makes him look good and everybody else look bad. But the scriptures is the inspired word of God. It's not something that God just had men put down his opinion, but he breathed it out from his own self. So that when we look at the word of God, we do not have the word of man, but we have the word of truth. And so in the Gospel of John, we find John giving us this account of Jesus Christ from his perspective. There's only one gospel, but four gospel writers. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then you have John, and they all saw this man called Jesus as he walked the earth, came down among us, again, through 40 and two generations. But I want to peer in again on this conference, this intimate relationship that they had, the Lord Jesus, with his disciples during the time when he was getting close to the shadow of the cross. As a matter of fact, he wasn't close to it. It was already there. And yet he calls them to the upper room, and he begins to talk to them about something that is going to be up ahead. He wants to console them. They have been listening to him teach, and now he has settled in and set them down in a place that has been designated where he can give them final instruction before he goes home to the Father. Notice again, I didn't say before he goes to the cross, because we know the cross, however, was only a transition. He was going to the cross, but he knew he was going back home to be with his Father. Amen. And so in John chapter 14, if we want to use that expression, the Lord again, as he's in the midst of, and he begins to speak to them, there's some words here of consolation, but also revelation. That means Christ is going to say things to them that though they at this moment will not be able to fully conceive or comprehend what he's saying, he deems it necessary to tell them because he knows that there's another comforter is going to come. And when he comes and when he comes down here, he will visit the disciples and will again enlighten them and give them understanding and clarity about what Jesus Christ said to them before the cross. So he knows what he's doing. He chooses to sow into them a word that would sit with them. Then when the spirit of truth would come, he will again rehearse over again what Christ told them at this moment. And then they will have full apprehension of what it meant. Are y'all following me here? But there's something here I want to look at for a moment, something we might have heard before, but I fall need to rehearse. And again, just having witness and testimony of the song that we sang just a few moments ago, the hymn that we sung, if you would look at it again, and how can it be that I should gain? If you would look at it again, look at the words of the hymn. Look at the words. It's not just a song. It's a hymn. It's a spiritual song. It's not just a melody, but no, it's a musing of biblical truth about who God is and what he's done. and how so unworthy we are, but he did it anyhow. Amen. And so in here, John chapter 14, Christ is talking to the disciples and he makes this statement, as I can't do it all or go through it all. I have not that ability, but I will look at this here, starting at John 14, verse 21. And here Christ talking to disciples, and they try to help us sometimes by giving us red letters.
Amen.
Okay, but I tell the class sometime in New Life that even if the letters weren't red, you should know what it's talking about. And so he says here, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, and they want to make it clear what Judas is, not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus saith unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, he didn't say I, he said we, will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Yes.
He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now here, right here, saints, in the middle of this, the Lord Jesus gives us an expansive anticipation. And keep in mind again that and I ask you to do this quite frequently now, and becomes more clear to me, that you need to be putting yourself in their shoes. Amen. We all look intelligent when we got 66 books already. Amen. We had 2,000 years to read them. But if you were there at the time, amen, you would be sitting there with your mouth open about the words that he's saying. One, because it's beyond your comprehension fully, but also because of the fact even what he infers what he's talking about. And so the Lord talking to them, he says, he that hath my commandments, notice now, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And notice how the Lord Jesus is clear about this. He says, it's not enough for you just to have my commandments. I know that they really mean something to you, and that I mean something to you if I see you keep them. That means if you don't live what I said, then don't say what you don't mean. You know what I'm talking about? People can use a lot of words, and words again have meaning, but they only have meaning a lot of times if they have substance. They don't have substance, however, if they're not a verb. You know what a verb means? Verbs is an action word. And if you ain't doing what you say sometime, you ain't saying nothing. And so Jesus said, if he that hath my commandments, and notice this, please personalize this, saints. Please personalize it, because he's not talking to everybody. He's talking to anybody, but he's not talking to everybody. He says, he that hath my commandments, first of all, he identifies the audience that he's addressing. He that hath my commandments, notice now, and keepeth them. He begins to parcel down, however, who he's referring to. Number one, he that hath my commandments, but then he qualified, but and he that keepeth them. So you got to make sure you find yourself in both categories if you want the Lord to really think you're sincere. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Watch it now. Now he said, listen, that's the one. That's the one now. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Now what you will notice about Christ is this, that as he talks about, there's a progression here. There's a chronological progression. And when he says this, he says, if one thing is true, then there's another thing that will follow. And after that, there's something else will follow. You're with me here? And there's a progression there of relationship. He says, and listen now, if you say, if you keep my commandments, that shows that you love me. Later on, he's going to say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, he's not double talking. He's saying two things, but he's saying the same thing. He says, listen here, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But then he says again earlier, before that, he says, if you keep my commandments, that is a demonstration that you love me. In other words, if you're keeping my commandments, it's already shown inside of you, in your heart, that you love me, because I see you doing what I said. Y'all, are y'all with me? Yes. This is important here, saints, because this is what discipleship is all about. Amen. We talk about membership, but we talk about discipleship. And discipleship is life on life. And that's mean when you follow Christ, when you follow, you follow after him. Yes. But when Jesus talks about following me, he means more than showing up. Amen. He means wherever I go, you go. Amen. And then, and not only that, wherever I go, you go, and where I go, you stay. There's a whole lot of folks, amen, that follow him up to a point. They weren't disciples. Some became demonstrated they were doubters, and some were just out of duty. But he's not looking for that. He's looking for commitment.
Yes.
And so he says, he that keepeth my commandment. And let me just say this too, so we be clear, that you don't earn salvation. No, you don't. You don't earn salvation. Are you with me? You don't earn salvation. But check this out. You do earn trust. And that's not just with Jesus, that's in any relationship. If you destroy trust, you got to earn it back. You don't get no pass when it comes to trust. In other words, God loves us, but he don't trust all of us. No. God loves y'all, but he don't trust me.
Mercy.
Y'all people, church folk get upset when you talk about it. You know why? Because he knows us. Right. Now, Peter already showed us what can happen, didn't he? Peter said, Lord, I never deny you. Jesus said, Peter, when the last word came out your mouth, I'm telling you right now, before you even said it, that you're going to deny me three times. Peter, I love you, but right now I don't trust you.